Si va va.
Good morning, KMA listeners, live from Shenandoah, the blowtorch, 50,000 watts, beaming, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas. Did you listen to the tremendous sports coverage from Friday Night Football, the tour of the cavalcade through the states, that comprehensive prep coverage you get only at KMA Shenandoah on a beautiful morning, although rainy, and listening on the way in to the great Mr. Tim Wayne here at the engineering deck. How are you, Tim?
Hey, all right today. Yeah, it's kind of a wet morning, but it's going to be a nice weekend. And, you know, it's a big game today in Lincoln tonight. Big goings on in Nebraska City today with Applejack Festival going on. I'll be there. Hope to see you guys over there today because I'll be driving in the parade, driving the KMA Cruiser in the parade. So.
Tim, you guys can't miss Tim at the wheel there, you know, since it'll be like Bruce Wayne at the Batmobile. It'll be Tim Wayne at the KMA Cruiser and
turbines to speed.
Yes, yes.
Something like that.
Captain, I kind of beam up a flight. Jeff Goose, super producer, actor, and media mogul. How are you today, Jeff?
Great. Great to be here. Yeah. Nice little overnight rain. And, you know, I think things are going to clear up here for the rest of the day. If people got some outdoor activities planned for the afternoon, it sounds pretty good, huh?
But I'll tell you what, with the most important question is that John and I and Dean want to know is how is your golf game?
Not any better, not any worse, but you know, it still comes down to that that P word, putting. What is the deal with putting? How many times can one person miss a putt by half an inch? I think I may have set the record, but yep. So that's what it comes down to.
You know, Don Adams, the great Maxwell Smart actor who won Emmys three different times for his portrayal of Maxwell Smart, maybe that's where he got the missed it by that much, because he was such an avid golfer, Don Adams was.
Yeah, oh, he was. Okay, well, then I think that probably had been those words uttered a few times by Mr. Adams on the green, because those weren't exactly the words I used, but something along that line, yeah.
And then, of course, we had the Iowa-Iowa State game last week, and what can we say?
Painful. Painful to watch from the Iowa fan perspective, although the Iowa State fans that I had the misfortune of being in the room with at the same time had a little different view of it. Yeah, you know, Iowa State came out, they were wanting to play, and my view of it was just kind of flat. It just looked kind of flat from the Iowa perspective, but, you know, that's I'm sure they were in there fighting hard, but just from the outside looking in, that's kind of the way it looks sometimes.
Intrepid reporter that I am, Jeff, I can say that it is not true. I can dispel the issue. It is not true that Mrs. Kirk Ferentz sent Kirk out for dinner last night to the fire station because she just couldn't stand to see him choke at home. That is not true.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that's not true. No more choking at home. And, you know, that we were talking earlier before the show today with Don Hanson, Iowa fan extraordinaire, and about the timeout that Coach Ferentz called. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, what did you call that timeout for? But typically, you know, that's the way they play it, statistical probabilities. I think that's probably the right thing to do. But, of course, in hindsight, looking in the old rearview mirror, it didn't look like the right thing to do.
You know, with the Nebraska-Miami game this evening, thinking back the 20th anniversary, the reunion of the Husker national title, and that still always brings up the question of the decade before that, the 84 Orange Bowl.
Yes.
Should Tom have kicked the extra point to guarantee the national title, or go for two? So there's always this great ex post facto review of decisions made in sports. And, of course, Dean's got to be giddy. Joy, Dean Jennings, of course, our co-host. Dean is at an undisclosed location today, like Dick Cheney, but he is with us here. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, and I have nothing in common with Dick Cheney, and no one in the world should.
Dean, what did you think of that game last week?
It was just fine. I was a little disappointed in the fumble before halftime, but I felt confident that the Cyclones would come back and play well in the second half. It's a good ball game. A lot of fun for everybody.
Dean, I want to tease something that we've got coming up here. You have assisted so tremendously during the course of the show. We're in our 28th episode today. We've had some tremendous authors on. We've had Glenn Frankl, Pulitzer Prize winner, Scotty Eiman, New York Times bestseller. We've had Glenn Freeman on. And you, just to tease the future episodes, we did quite a great interview stint this week. Dean, you're a famous hero in a Spymasters novel. Do you want to just tease that out a little bit for us here?
Well, Gail Lenz is a Countless native and New York Times best-selling author of Mesmerized, Masquerade, Mosaic, or her first three novels. She's written three with Robert Ludlum, and we had a very fun interview with her last week and did several different segments. It's very difficult to catch her because she's so busy writing, and her new book, The Assassins, can be pre-ordered now on Amazon and a number of different Barnes & Noble, and it's about to come out next June, and she's already working on her next one, which involves a bunch of Russian spies. She's very interesting, a lot of fun, University of Iowa graduate, attended the Iowa Writers' Workshop, and yeah, I hope everybody will enjoy those interviews, because she's a local gal that's done very, very well, and I know that you've talked to one of our good mutual friends, Tom.
Yes, Tommy Dunlap's got waiting on the phone today, Dean. We've got Jim LaFave, who is one of the top-selling authors nationally right now. He's going to join us here in just about a minute. Dean, since I like to fight and you're Irish, this is most appropriate. Folks, Jim LaFave is author, speaker, and sports historian. He's a two-time winner of the Independent Publisher Book Awards for his works Coach for a Nation, The Life and Times of Newt Rockne, and Loyal Sons, The Story of the Four Horsemen and Notre Dame's 1924 Champions. In Coach for a Nation, The Life and Times of Newt Rockne, LaFave provides the first comprehensive biography of the coaching legend. Jim has spent years researching every aspect of Rockne's life and the times in which he flourished. Jim is founder and editor of the website Forever Irish, which celebrates the heritage of Notre Dame football, at www.ndfootballhistory.com. He has been a guest on dozens of radio and TV shows from coast to coast and has spoken to numerous groups of Notre Dame alumni and other football enthusiasts. On November 1 of 2013, he was the featured speaker at the Donor Appreciation Dinner for the Rockne Heritage Fund at Notre Dame Stadium. He also has some phenomenal ties to Green Bay and the Packers that we can explore a little bit, too. And his two daughters both graduated with honors from Notre Dame. And Dean, I know as an Irishman and as an historian, if I know you have the book Loyal Sons as I do, it's kind of like a Ken Burns treatment in a way, Dean, isn't it? Because it really paints the broad strokes of the culture of America in the 20s and 30s.
Well, and Jim really does a wonderful job describing the whole social aspect of the football program there at Notre Dame and across the country. Notre Dame is, after all, the number one preeminent nationally recognized collegiate football program. There's a lot of programs that aspire to that, but Notre Dame is the one program that everybody knows has national prominence.
Well, without further ado, let's bring on award-winning author and bestseller Jim LaFave. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
You know, Jim, I'm in such admiration of your work. We've got Dean Jennings on with us, too. And one of the things that I find fascinating, we're going to explore this on the other side of the break, but one of the things we'll talk about today are some of Rockne's great legacies, including the five aspects of his character that you think become great models for leadership. Let's just start back with, let's talk about the four horsemen just briefly here, because there's a Nebraska Husker connection. We have a lot of Nebraska Husker fans that listen in on this show as we boom over to Iowa. Tell us about the significant link between the Huskers and the Four Horsemen.
Well, it's actually the Huskers and the Hawkeyes. Newt Rockne, in his 13 seasons as Notre Dame head coach, 1918 to 1930, lost a total of 12 games, less than one game per season. But four of those losses came to the Hawkeyes and the Huskers. In 1921, Notre Dame's only loss, so it cost them an undefeated season, was at Iowa City against the great Iowa team led by Duke Slater, one of the first black stars of football, and Aubrey Devine. And ironically, the captain of Notre Dame that day was Eddie Anderson from Mason City, Iowa, who would go on to coach the Hawkeyes in the 1940s. So that was the first time that that was only the Rockne's second loss in his fourth season. And then the next 2 years, 1922 and 1923, Notre Dame took trips to Lincoln both years and came up short in two very hard-fought games against Nebraska. And those two games represent the only games lost by the famous Four Horsemen backfield. They were varsity players for three seasons, 22, 23, and 24. So Nebraska is the only team to have defeated the Four Horsemen. And then finally in 24, in their senior season, they made the trip to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame scored a big victory en route to their first national championship. So for a 10-year period from 1915 to 1925, the Notre Dame-Nebraska rivalry was as fierce and as strong as anything going, and there were some terrific games back and forth during that period.
Jim, I'm so glad that you brought in the Hawkeye references, too. I was still fixated on that 1952 game last night that we don't want to talk about. But you're right. You know, and my dad, Dean and I were talking between Jack Trice and, you know, Judge Slater, the great tradition in Iowa of being so cutting edge with race relations. And that great Eddie Anderson, who you also talked about, he actually coached the Iowa Ironmen that included Niall Kinnick, Heisman Trophy winner and Omaha native. Dean, let's get your take here. What would you like to explore here as we go down memory lane here with how Rockne built this great franchise?
Well, I just think it's fun for Jim to explain to everybody that Rockne certainly is a chemistry teacher, and although a very good football player himself and introduced the forward pass to the game, to the modern game of football, was anything but Irish.
That is true. He was a Norwegian immigrant and put himself through school. Jim, do you want to just give us a little background on how Rockne came over here and with work ethic and ingenuity and creativity, how he built this program?
Well, the ingenuity and the creativity really was a hallmark of the whole story. His dad invented or created carriages, and one of his carriages was chosen to be featured at the Columbia World's Exposition, the Chicago World's Fair of 1893. That's what got the family over here from Norway. And so we devote an entire chapter in the book, Coach for a Nation, about that incredible event. The Columbian Exposition inspires people like Henry Ford, the Wright brothers, L. Frank Baum, who creates the Wizard of Oz based on this white city they called the buildings of the World's Fair. So from a very, very early age, he was exposed to a tremendous amount of creativity and forward thinking. We describe in great detail what that event meant for Chicago at the time as it was rebuilding and turning into a great world city. So we feel that he was inspired from an early age to look for the new, the different, and he certainly applied it to the game of football. You know, I think most people today, unfortunately, associate Rockne mainly with the rah-rah locker room speech, and that, as you'll quickly find in the pages of Coach for a Nation, is just a sliver of his personality. He's about so many more things than that. And as he becomes not only the most successful football coach, the most influential on how the game was played and how the game was perceived. He was all about a wide-open game that allowed a smaller player, like he was at 5'8", 165 pounds, to excel. So it's all about speed. It's about deception rather than brute force. And this, of course, leads to a much more enjoyable game from the fan standpoint, which he was always acutely aware of, had a very theatrical side, and understood what it was that people were looking to see and experience at a football game.
We're just getting started here with Jim LaFave, award-winning author of Newt Rockne and Loyal Sons, and we're going to take a break. But before we roll out, Jim, you've got this great connection to Green Bay and Vince Lombardi, and I've always admired both Rockne and Lombardi. they seem to transcend coaching to me, and that I think they both were true intellectuals and really philosophers. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and I think we proved that in the pages of Coach for a Nation, that Coach Rockne had a vision and an uncanny ability to connect with people, and that's one of the major lessons that we feel we can learn from today. He was able to not only encyclopedic memory for names and faces and incidents, but he got into the heart of the person that he was dealing with, whether it was one of his players, whether it was a coach that he was instructing at one of his famous coaching schools held around the country. And it was said that everybody that met Rockne felt he was, you know, their friend for life. And so it was this really a tremendous study in human relations is what you learn by studying the life of Newt Rockne.
We're going to take a break and come back on the other side with plenty more from Jim Lefebvre. Dean Jennings would say, pour another cup of coffee, right, Dean?
Well, that's right, and I've got duties and obligations I have to attend to, so I'm going to say goodbye for this morning, and I'll talk to everybody next week. Have a good morning, everybody, in KMA land.
Thanks, Dean, and then I'll be back with Jeff Goose and Tim Wayne and Jim Lefebvre, author of Newt Rockne, Coach for a Nation, and Loyal Sons, The Story of the Four Horsemen. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us, KMA, you ain't heard nothing.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Hey, if web.com did it for you, they're perfect for me.
Call now 1-800-535-8815. That's 1-800-535-8815. Again, 1-800-535-8815.
Stop what you're doing and get to Camping World for the inventory reduction sale. They're drastically reducing prices on their entire lineup of 2014 RVs to make room for the new 2015 models. Visit the Camping World retail store for the lowest prices of the season on Adco RV covers, select outdoor chairs, camping accessories, and more. Plus, use promo code RADIO75 to receive $25 off when you spend $75 or more at campingworld.com or at a store near you. That's promo code RADIO75. Don't miss out. This offer ends September 30th, only at Camping World.
If you're waiting on some great financing to buy a new Ford, don't wait any longer. 0% is as good as it gets, and now you can go for 72 months. That's 6 years. Now through September at Tri-State Ford, we're offering huge discounts and 0% for 72 months. Make your best deal at Tri-State Ford and pay no interest for 6 years. Now is the time, and Tri-State Ford is the place. See us on South Main in Maryville or online at tristatefordlincoln.com. I'm Todd Hill, and I want to earn your business.
Providing feed, fuel, and fiber for the world is a tough job. Suka Manufacturing and Miller Welding are here to help you do it. Suka Grain Handling, Drying, and Storage Products provide solutions that help you protect and preserve the world's grain supply. And Suka Steel Buildings protect and preserve the tools you use to produce it. Visit Miller Welding or call 660-572-0016 for solutions today. Suka Manufacturing Company, engineering solutions since 1963.
Live and local, you ain't heard nothing. Kim A. Shenandoah, John Jacobson, Dean Jennings, Tim Wayne, Jeff Goose. We are so delighted today. A great honor. We have award-winning author Jim Lefebvre for his works Coach for a Nation, The Life and Times of Newt Rockne, and Loyal Sons, The Story of the Four Horsemen, and Notre Dame football's 1924 champions. Jim, can we just talk a little bit? Rockne was such an innovator. Can you talk about his contribution in terms of the forward pass and the shift?
Right. Well, last year was the 100th anniversary of the famous Notre Dame-Army game, and that's why we brought the book out at that time last fall. And that was the trip to Army on November 1st, 1913, and what is called the game that changed football. where Notre Dame used the forward pass. They never claimed to have invented anything, but they used it in a way that day that had been unseen up to that time. In other words, before that, most passes were from a stationary player to another stationary player, and Rockne described it almost as throwing a medicine ball in gym class, whereas he and quarterback Gus DeRay developed actual long pass patterns, and DeRay threw long arcing spirals that Rockne caught on the run and continued on for touchdowns. And it stunned Army that day and all the Eastern observers. People were predicting that it would change football, as it did. And it really opened up the game again in a way that allowed smaller players, speedier players, to have a role. And it wasn't this smashing of 11 bodies against 11 bodies at the line of scrimmage, which the game had largely been before that. Now, you mentioned the shift, and that's the anniversary we're coming up with in just a couple of weeks. In 1914, Rockne is now coaching. He's the assistant coach to Jess Harper at Notre Dame. Harper gets a game scheduled at Yale, which was the biggest thing to happen basically up until that time. Yale is the center of football. It's where the game was, if not created, certainly refined by Walter Camp. They won numerous national championships and had All-Americans. So for a little school in the Midwest like Notre Dame to get a game at Yale was a huge coup. They go out there. Yale wins 28-0 using a series of lateral passes and different moves. And Rockne and Harper come back to Notre Dame that week and say, we have to try something different here. And that's when they instituted the Notre Dame shift. And it was patterned after shifts already being used at the University of Chicago with Amos Alonzo Stagg and at the University of Minnesota with Doc Williams. They added some tweaks to it, and it became the staple of the Notre Dame offense for years to come, including the years with the Four Horsemen and on through the 20s. So it, and unlike the movie Newt Rockne All-American, they did not get the idea for the shift from watching a line of chorus girls in New York City. Although Rockne always took his players to things like that, and he loved any performance that included or featured precision and timing, because that's what the shift was all about. And it was certainly something that they perfected over the years.
You know, we're getting some great reviews already from you being on here this morning, Jim. It's just great to have you. Pastor Nathan Sherrill and his daughter listening from St. Paul's, and they're thanking us for a great show. Shout out to the Sherrills. And Jim, you know, when we talk about legacies, I've always, you know, talked to my friends being a Hawkeye fan about Hayden Fry's tremendous coaching legacy and coaching tree. But can we talk a bit about Rockne's coaching legacy in terms of A, his coaching tree of his students and players, but also, secondly, how he transformed the game with his coaching camps, essentially.
Right. And regarding the first, I think it can be fairly argued that there's never been a larger or more impactful coaching tree than Rockne's. I mean, he sent his players out across the country. I refer to his office as being the de facto employment agency for football coaching in the 1920s, because he was connected everywhere. He knew everybody. So he knew the openings. People would come to him looking for who should they hire. And, of course, he had this great stable of tremendous student athletes that had come through Notre Dame for him, that he was able to suggest the right man for the job. At one time, more than half of today's SEC, Southeastern Conference schools, had head coaches who had played at Notre Dame for under Rockne. I mean, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, right on down the list. I mean, his impact was just enormous, and at schools all across the country, dozens and dozens of Catholic schools, which played football at the time, looked to him to supply their coaches. So that's one thing, and that alone is a huge legacy. But then beyond that, and that's really the major thrust of the book, Coach for a Nation, is that he travels the country. Instead of being content with his accomplishments and resting every summer, he travels the country every summer holding these 1- and 2-week coaching schools, as they call them, really the precursor to today's coaches' clinics. And they're held everywhere. They're held on college campuses from Springfield College in Massachusetts to Oregon Agricultural, today's Oregon State, and everywhere in between, including Hastings College in Nebraska, one of his stops. Wherever he had a contact that would invite him and set things up, he would host one of these coaching schools where he literally would come into contact over the years with thousands of individuals. Coaches of high schools, prep schools, colleges would come and learn his system, which we have his notes, extensive notes on all the every aspect of the game imaginable to tremendous detail. But I think in a larger sense, they were learning how to deal with young men, how to coach and guide teams and individuals, and learning that sense of guidance and human relations that he so excelled at.
We're here with Jim LaFave, best-selling author of Loyal Sons, the story of the Four Horsemen and Notre Dame's 1924 champion, and also the great new book on Coach for a Nation, The Life and Times of Newt Rockne. Jim, the death of Rockne in the plane crash in Kansas was just something that stunned the nation, caught everybody off guard, and was a devastating blow from President Hoover to the King of Norway to Will Rogers. The funeral was broadcast worldwide. One unintended effect of that was literally we as Americans can thank Newt Rockne in a sense because airline safety rigors and protocols were tightened up significantly as a result of the notoriety of that crash. Is that not correct?
Exactly correct. And in fact, it leads to the creation of the FAA. And as you say, the advancement of airline standards and safety. And what you said earlier was also very, very true. Of course, it is a shocking event that really elicited a reaction that was unheard of at the time. I mean, it was the outpouring of emotion and tribute and eulogy from all aspects of society, far beyond athletics and education, although that was a huge part of it, but also business, politics, entertainment. The outpouring was incredible. It was unprecedented, and in a sense, that's what we start the book with. Actually, we start telling the Rockne story in Coach for a Nation by describing what that outpouring was like, because it helps frame the question: why? You know, what did this man do to cause such an enormous reaction from all over the country? And I'll just quote from Will Rogers, the great entertainer, the great wit, the great commentator, said on that day, "We thought it would take a president or a great public man's death to make a whole nation, regardless of age, race, or creed, shake their heads in real sincere sorrow." Well, that's what this country did today, Newt, for you. You died one of our national heroes. Notre Dame was your address, but every gridiron in America was your home. And that's the quote we actually have in the book's back cover from Will Rogers.
That's beautiful. Jim LaFave, L-E-F-E-B-V-R-E. Jim, we're going to... So people have a sense of Rockne, although, as you say, he was so nuanced and layered. We've got a 40-second excerpt of one of Rockne's speeches. Tim's going to cue up here.
And it's all forward pass. It's all passed. Wait till you see the ball in the air. And then go and get it. And when they get it, boys, that's when they go on offense. That's when they go to them. And don't forget we're going to pick it on one tackle they've got this week. We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them and outside them. And when we get them on the run once, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today is the day we're going to win. They can't lick us. And from the black out of the goal, the first whistle of the man win there. Fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man?
Actual footage of Newt Rockne. Jim LaFave, Rockne is still relevant today, and you talk about five great contributions that Rockne makes to leadership. Can you touch on those briefly for us here as we head to the conclusion of this wonderful interview?
Well, sure. We talk about things like courage, and he was someone who just continued to plow forward, was unafraid or walked through his fears of going into any situation, meeting anybody, going anywhere, and then another one is connection, his uncanny ability to connect with people, make them feel important. What I was really struck by was his communication with every member of his squad, and this could be a fifth or sixth teamer, would receive a letter in August encouraging him to come back for football that year and finding something positive to say. He just had an ability to, in a football term, coach deep into the roster, but in a larger sense, just get into the heart of another person and motivate them. And then we get into other topics that basically can be boiled up by saying he wrested more out of life than anybody virtually that you can imagine. In his 43 years, he just lived life to the full, full speed, on the go, always looking forward, not real self-reflective because he was always thinking of the next thing, the better thing, the faster thing, and the bigger thing. And all this contributes to certainly not only the operation of football and of athletics at the time, but just American life in general.
Jim, it's just been tremendous to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit more? We're going to have you back on sometime if you'd like to join us. I know Dean would love to visit more with you, and Tom Dunlap's been such a good friend of the show. Can you tell us where people can read and reach you on the web and grab some more of the books? You've just done such a great job.
Yes, I'd love to be back at any time. I do also talk about current events in football, which we could go on for hours on, of course. But historic-wise, the two main websites that I operate, first, the one is ndfootballhistory.com. And as you alluded to earlier, that is called Forever Irish, and it's just a compilation of a great amount of material on the history of college football and particularly Notre Dame. Again, ndfootballhistory.com. And then we have a site strictly dedicated to Rockne, which is coachforanation.com. And there again, we have continual entries and features and sidelights that some are in the book, some are aside from that. And then, of course, information on ordering the book, and that is the only place where you can order an autographed copy of the book, which people seem to like for some reason, but that's where they can do that, is at coachforanation.com.
Well, folks, it's just been great to have Jim LaFave on. He's a great lecturer, too. As we've said before, he talks about Rockne's fearlessness and being a man on the move. Very important, and the ability to connect with people, and his dedication to education, his role as teacher, both on and off the field, and just a fifth and final defining characteristic, a life well lived. Well, this was an interview well lived. Jim LaFave, thanks for joining us. It was a joy to have you on today with us.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it tremendously, and go Irish to your Notre Dame fans out there, and also looking for the Hawkeyes and the Huskers in their big games today.
My grandfather would be proud of me. He used to sit and watch Notre Dame games. He was so nervous he'd fold paper in the armchair. Earlier in his life, he raised money for Rockne along the Dubuque-Clinton, Iowa area. Thanks, Jim LaFave. We'll have you back sometime. You ain't heard nothing yet. You're listening to John Jacobs and Dean Jennings, live from Shenandoah. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
The Twisted Tail in Beebetown invites you to the last Nebraska Bush Pullers Truck and Tractor Pull of the season. Saturday, September 20th, enjoy seven classes starting at 5 p.m., including modified Superstocks, Super Farm Tractors, and more. Gates will open at 3, and the stadium seating is limited, so bring your lawn chairs. Kids under 5 are free, up to 12, just $5, and over 12 will pay just $15 admission. That's the last pull of the season, Saturday, September 20th, just northeast of the Twisted Tail in Beebetown, Iowa.
Visit Woodhouse Ford in Plattsmouth for all your vehicle needs. Lease a new 2014 Ford F-150 Super Crew for only $199 a month for up to 24 months. $3,500 is due at signing, but the security deposit is waived. Woodhouse has over 1,000 new Ford trucks to choose from. Woodhouse Ford, just a country mile south of Omaha, Plattsmouth, Nebraska.
TTLX for WSC expires May 2014.
Rock, roll, and reminisce at ShenFest September 27th. We're honoring Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers, jazz great Charlie Hayden, and recently retired drummer of America, Willie Lee Cox, Shenandoah will be rocking at the Fireman's Pancake Feed fundraiser, fun run, and tennis tournament, rolling at the tractor show, pet parade, and the petting zoo, and reminiscing at the 2 p.m. Shenfest parade down Sheridan Avenue. Rock, roll, and reminisce following the parade at the Everly Brothers House with Branson's Brother South concert. The Shenfest fun continues at the depot with bingo, root beer floats, and more music into the night. Check the full schedule at shenandoahiowa.net. Call 246-3455. Shenfest, September 27th in Shenandoah.
When seconds matter, count on Clorinda's emergency service experts. Clorinda Regional Health Center provides top-notch emergency care, including four ambulances which are able to reach you wherever you may be. If you need an emergency lift by air, the Air Methods helicopter is stationed at CRHC and is always ready to serve you. In an emergency, count on Clorinda Regional Health Center, advancing exceptional care.
Now at U.S. Cellular, get four lines and 10 gigs of data for just $140 a month. That's $20 less than Verizon and AT&T. Switch now and we'll pay off your old contract. So if you want to save money, go with U.S. Cellular. And if you don't, well, why not? U.S. Cellular. Hello, better. New retail installment contracts and shared connect plan required. ETF payoff up to $350 per line. Other restrictions apply. See store for details.
Visit Glenwood Radio Shack, your local U.S. Cellular authorized agent in Glenwood, Iowa, for the best deals and great service on a network you'll love. Glenwood Radio Shack, Glenwood, Iowa.
And good morning to you from KMA, back here on You Ain't Heard Nothing. Got an announcement here real quick. We want to remind people the Shenandoah Youth Sports Youth Football Games for today. This is for 4th through 6th grade. Games in Hamburg have been moved back 1 hour. So the first game will start at 11 this morning in Hamburg, again due to the weather. Again, that's the Shenandoah 4th through 6th grade Youth Football Game in Hamburg. The games have been moved back 1 hour. First game will start at 11 this morning. Now, once again, back to here they are, Mr. Football and Mr. Football Wannabes.
John Jacobson, Dean Jennings, Tim Wayne, and Jeff Goose, super producer, wants to come in with a little local lore also going on.
Oh, well, that's right. We want to make sure we take time to remind people about the Big Applejack Festival going on in Nebraska City this weekend. And that's a big event. I didn't realize it was I knew it was big, but I didn't realize it's ranked as one of the top 10 fall festivals in North America. That's from the Society of American Travel Writers. And that's been going on for 45 years, that Applejack Festival. And you'll get a chance to go over and say hey to Tim Wayne today, because he's going to be there. You're going to be there, Tim, about 1 o'clock for the parade, right?
Yep, about 1 o'clock. We'll be driving the cruiser, and we'll be waving at people and saying hi and so on.
That is awesome.
Hey, that's a good time.
Yeah, can't miss the cruiser, Applejack Festival. And, you know, one of the other things, they're really thinking ahead on that thing. They're thinking, well, now it's a Nebraska-Miami football game day. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
And my understanding is that they are going to have the big screen out at the festival.
Ooh.
A huge screen, so you can watch the Nebraska-Miami game on the screen while you're enjoying your Applejack Festival activity. So that's they got it all covered over there. They're thinking
having some apples and sitting there enjoying football.
That's well, right. And speaking now of Miami and Nebraska, you know, in our past pigskin previews here, this is week 4, we've had Iowa State, Iowa, Northern Iowa fans today. It's the Huskers' turn, Nebraska's turn. We have the nation's number one 8th grade Husker fan on the line, Mr. Ethan. Are you there, Ethan?
I am. How are you doing today?
Ethan, I'm doing so well, and the first thing I have to compliment you on is you are barely a teenager, and you've got the pipes of John Facenda, who was the late, great NFL films announcer. Tim Wayne and I were just talking about John Facenda today. You got great pipes. Have you ever thought of doing radio full-time, Ethan?
Yeah, I guess I've thought about it. That'd be a pretty cool job now that I think of it.
Well, you know, Ethan, I actually knew your grandfather and attended some games with him. He was as great of a Husker fan as ever there was. As a matter of fact, the last act of his life literally was going to a Husker game. And he and I were commenting on some of the great earlier Miami games. You're a little bit younger, but this is 2014 now. What's your take on the game today? Give us your quick bird's eye analysis.
Well, this is obviously a big game, being the 20th anniversary of the last time these two teams played each other. It's going to be, I think it's definitely going to be a hard-fought game. And I don't see a lot of scoring in this one because Miami's defense is pretty good, as is Nebraska's. I do see Nebraska coming away with the win, though. So I think it'll be close, but I think Nebraska will pull ahead later in the game.
Ethan, do you think part of the key is getting the ball in Abdullah's hands frequently enough?
Yeah, definitely. I think we need a good mix of run and pass plays. Abdullah, obviously, being our best running back. And I think we also need to throw, you know, Tommy's got a good arm on him, so toss it to Westerkamp a couple times, see if he can do anything with it today. So,
do you think the fact that they've got a reunion of over 90 of the Husker players from that national championship team under Dr. Tom in 94 are going to be back today? Do you think the crowd's going to be especially revved up tonight during that game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure, because, you know, Miami as well is going to be looking for some revenge after the 94 game. So it should be pretty intense down there at Memorial Stadium. It should be a fun game to watch.
Ethan, you're a great fan. I know you're also quite the hunter and outdoorsman. You're kind of a Duck Dynasty guy in a way, like many of our listeners are here. If you had to pick going hunting with your dad or getting a Memorial Stadium, what choice would you make? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, now, this is a tough question. Let me think here. Well, I can go hunting multiple days out of the season. So I probably, and I haven't been to a Husker game for a while now, actually. So I probably have to go with the Husker game.
Flawlessly logical, Mr. Ethan, as Mr. Spock would say, flawlessly logical. Well, you've been a great guest, Ethan. Good luck to you in your future radio career and in your Husker fandom. And give my best to your folks. They're also great Husker fans. You're truly one of the multi-generational Husker diehards whose family had tickets in Bob Devaney's first year. So you guys have been there through it all. And keep the tradition going, okay, Ethan?
All right, no problem. Thanks, John.
Thanks very much. Great to have you. Mr. Ethan, the nation's number one eighth-grade Husker fan. And now we're going to break, and then when we come back, we've got Val Ware on with Dean Jennings about some goings-on in our local area, time-sensitive, this weekend. You ain't heard nothing. John Jacobson, Dean Jennings, live from KMA Radio, the great home of May Broadcasting, here with Jeff Goose and Tim Wayne.
You've made the decision to slow down a bit. Whether you're a recently retired farmer or getting ready to retire, chances are you're overwhelmed with where to start with your equipment. You've worked so hard to acquire it, and we understand it's not an easy decision. At Michael Wagner Implement and Cornley Iron Auctions, we really know what it's like to work hard for what you have. With nearly 60 years in the farm machinery business and countless more in farming, you can trust that we'll help you make the right decision on moving your machinery lineup. This is Ashley, the master multitasker. Give me a call at 402-923-1160 and let my team help get you on the road to retirement quicker with less stress and fewer worries. Our number again is 402-923-1160. Michael Wagner Implement and Cornley Iron Auctions, for three generations, connecting buyers and sellers through more ways than anyone. It's the Michael Wagner way.
If an SUV of any size is what you're looking for, Tri-State has it. If you're looking for a $250 a month work car, Tri-State has it. All Tri-State vehicles come with a free warranty, 149-point inspection, free vehicle history report, and can be seen online at tristatefordlincoln.com. If you've had a little bump in the road with your credit, Tri-State Ford Lincoln has a loan program tailored for you. Our banks want your business. Good credit, bad credit, cars, trucks, SUVs. I'm Todd Hill, and I want to earn your business.
This week on the Iowa Watch Connection, The National K-12 Common Core Education Standards have drawn attention from educators, parents, and government officials. The Iowa Core is to be fully implemented by the end of this academic year. But what is it, and why are so many talking about it? Common Core in Iowa, our topic this week. I'm Jeff Stein. I hope you'll make the Iowa Watch Connection Sunday night at 6:35 on KMA.
There's always something going on in KMA land.
Ducks Unlimited Banquet will be held this evening at the Shenandoah Elks Lodge. Doors will open at 5:30. The dinner, auction, and gun raffle will be held. Call 712-246-3313 for ticket information. And the Mount Zion Utterback Cemetery Annual Fall Beef and Noodle Dinner between Hamburg and Riverton will be held tomorrow, serving from 11 until 1.
For information on events in your area, visit kmaland.com.
Just once again, a reminder, the Shenandoah 4th through 6th grade youth football games in Hamburg for this morning have been moved back an hour due to the weather, so the first game will start at 11 o'clock this morning in Hamburg.
You ain't heard nothing live from Shenandoah. John Jacobson, Dean Jennings, Tim Wayne, Jeff Goose. Val Ware was on earlier, a couple weeks ago, talking about wine connoisseuring with Dean and me, and now she's with Dean for an update on some celebrations of Council Bluffs going on this weekend. Let's take it away, Dean and Val.
Well, this is Dean Jennings and John Jacobson, Tim Wayne, and Jeff Goose here in our studios in KMA. You ain't heard nothing. And we're talking to Val Ware, and now we're going to talk to Val about Council Bluffs and the things that are going on in Council Bluffs. Val, what is the organization that you've been assisting and working with up there?
Well, I'm a board member for a not-for-profit organization. It's a 501c3 called Bluffs Downtown. And we are working to bring new life to downtown. We want to attract new businesses. We want people to renovate their buildings. We want people to live downtown, live, work, and play downtown.
And that is kind of a trend here in America, to bring people back into the inner part of any town and to revitalize it. Is that kind of one of your goals?
Absolutely. That's what we're trying to do. We'd like to see more retail, more restaurants, everything, every type of business, you know, possible to get people to come back to it. And there's a lot of first steps and things that we've done or are working on to help, you know, bring the town to life and to get people to enjoy downtown even more.
I see a lot of activities, particularly on in the summer evenings all year long. This year, I've noticed on Wednesday evenings, there's live music and there's lots of different things going on in Bayless Park, which was it has really been, with the new fountain redone. What are some of the other projects that you've got going?
Well, Music in the Park, that's done by Bluffs Arts Council, and they do a wonderful job, and it's free to the public, and it's, I mean, it's a beautiful setting there at the park. We have been working to try to develop an arts and entertainment district, and the 100 block, which, you know, like, if you, it's between 1st and 2nd Street on Broadway. All of the business or the addresses are in the 100, so that's how it got its name. It is, you know, it is pretty much a core place in our community. And so we're trying to help make that an arts and entertainment district. You know, right now we have some restaurants there. We have two major anchors. We have Dixie Quicks, and then we have Barley's, and then we have several other bars and restaurants. For example, Glory Days also serves food, and 1892 also serves food, and then Rodeo serves food. But it's kind of, we want to try to bring more of the arts into it. Another, and so, you know, we didn't do this, but we're excited to see it, is that there's a brand new building that's being built right in the middle of the 100 block. It's going to be right between the chamber, and then there's some older buildings that are need renovation too.
And when you say chamber, you mean the Chamber of Commerce, because they have their offices there in the 100
they
block.
They do.
And I know that Alicia Roth and Bloom's Works is there. It's a lovely flower shop there. I know the Roth family, and they've done a great job of running that business out there, too.
And Marcus Shoes, Terry Stapleton, he does a great job. There are several beauty places, and, I mean, they all, you know, have great followings and loyal customers. We have the Edge Salon. You have Beauty Operators, Beauty on Broadway, and Chris Styles.
There certainly are a lot of things going on in Council Bluffs, and a lot of other local small communities around here, and I think the more things that we see like what you're doing, Val, that bring people in and make them, give them a greater sense of community, it just really makes the whole environment in Southwest Iowa better.
There's a couple of other things that we've been doing, which they fall into the category of, I say, placemaking.
And what would those be?
Well, one, we've done a little beautification project, and I'm still seeking sponsors. If you drive around town, around Bayless Park and on the 100 block, you'll notice that there are some beautiful hanging baskets of flowers. And that was something that we felt was important to do to make a difference in the community and what people think of downtown. And so that it's like, oh, it's kind of pretty down here. And so we're trying to do things to make it prettier. And so it's a prettier place, and that's part of placemaking. We've also held several activities. We had a street dance on July 3rd, and that was a lot of fun. And we have another one coming up on September 26th. So again, we'll close the street down on 100 block and dancing in the streets, and we have a live band. I haven't heard who they've booked yet, but I know that it's going to be somebody really good.
Well, it's a great time to come downtown and stroll and enjoy it and listen to some music and dance if you're so inclined.
And then a couple of other events that we've done. These are fun. I mean, these are nighttime bike rides.
Oh, and now tell us about that.
We did one in May, and then we have another one coming up on September 20th. And they start at 9 p.m., and I think they did a long route, a 5-mile and then a 10-mile route. And we had police escort, and we had everybody. The first one was light up the night, all lit up. And so people lit up their bikes. Well, you know, first for safety and visibility, you know, when they're out on the town. But it was a hoot seeing the bikes, you know, take off. And then some of the people, we even had some body paint that was glow in the dark.
Oh.
So, I mean, people had those things on, and they had crazy hats. And you know, somebody had those glow stick sunglasses, and, you know, it was fun.
Well, it gives everybody an opportunity to come out and dress up and have some fun and ride their bikes. And we certainly have some beautiful bike paths all through Southwest Iowa, Wabash Trace, and they're in Council Bluffs. They have really expanded those a lot, and we certainly see a lot of bike riders, and Ragbri last summer, and I'm sure next summer will be very well attended, so we see a lot of people. That sounds like just a lot of fun to dress up and put lights on yourself and the bike and ride around.
It is.
Well, that was great. Dean Jennings and Val Ware once again on some of the updated goings-on in Council Bluffs. What a great show today. I want to thank my guys here in the studio, Tim Wayne and Jeff Goose. Jim LaFave, award-winning author, on with us. Mr. Ethan, the great Husker fan. And want to give a shout-out to the Notre Dame, Our Lady. She's always had my back, and I love her. So God bless us, everyone. Come back next week. We're going to have Mick Gutaw assuming the presidency of the Iowa Bankers Association. We're going to have spy author Gail Linz, who has written Dean Jennings in as a hero in one of her spy novels. Dean is the CIA director. We may do a dramatic interpretation of that, Jeff, Tim, and I, to bring that about for Dean's edification. So, folks, be safe, be smart, be good, be strong. God bless us, everyone. We'll see you back next week on You Ain't Heard Nothin'.